Christian lingo is replete with cliches about God's provision, as it should be. Here are a few that you may recognize. God gives you exactly what you need, but nothing more. That one's false, by the way. Where God guides, God provides. Or when God closes the door, he opens a window. We rightly recognize that God is the giver of every good gift. Despite this, I fear, though, we often have too shallow of a view of God's provision. This morning, God has provided us with an opportunity to meditate on his provision. If you were in Bible study this morning, you would recall that it was a major theme that we spoke about. And both our Old Testament and New Testament lessons dwell on this topic. So let us turn to the scriptures and hear God speak about what he wishes to give to his people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We read, "The Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And there in the garden, God provided for Adam abundantly. He took care of his every need. He gave to Adam the fruit of every tree of the garden to eat for food, including the fruit of the tree of life, save one tree. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord says, 'You shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" In the Garden of Eden, we see the institution of the first sacrament, a sacrament of death. We have the physical sign, the fruit, and we have the promise of God bound to that sign. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And we all know what happened. Adam and Eve did not trust that God was the giver of every good gift. Instead, Eve believed the lie of the serpent and took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and set it before her husband to eat. And because of their rebellion, Adam and Eve became subject to death, and the ground was cursed on account of them. We read in Genesis, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." Adam and Eve may no longer eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. They may not eat of the tree of the fruit of life. But they may eat bread. Bread is the food of sin. You cannot get bread without toil and labor. Yet this bread would be the sustenance that God would provide for them for their entire pilgrimage of earthly life. Now, before we move to our gospel text, I would like you to recall one more Old Testament example of God's provision. Recall the Exodus, the great salvific event of the Old Testament. After God had rescued his people from slavery in Egypt through the waters of the Red Sea, he brought them into the desert of Sinai. There in Sinai, the Israelites would sojourn. They would be on pilgrimage for 40 years and be wholly reliant on the provision of God. Through Moses, God spoke to his people and said, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you." And he did. He covered the ground with it. And when the Israelites came out and saw the bread, they said, "What is it?" For that's what manna means. What is it? But the people ate, and there was enough. For 40 years, the people ate, and there was enough. The prophets often looked back to the time in Sinai as the golden age of Israel, because at that time, they were wholly reliant on the provision of God. Now, when this pilgrimage came to an end, before they entered the promised land, God promised his people that he would raise up another prophet like Moses, but greater, and he, the Messiah, would bring a yet greater salvation. And now we come to Jesus. For 3 days, the crowds have been with him, listening to his teaching in the desert, and they have run out of food. Jesus calls his disciples to himself and says, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far off." Jesus is moved by compassion for the crowds who have gathered around him to hear his teaching. And he knows that if he sends them on their way to finish their pilgrimage through the desert to their homes, they will faint. The apostles have already witnessed the feeding of the 5,000, but slow in heart as ever to believe, they say, "How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?" Jesus asks his disciples how many loaves of bread they have, 7 in total. And he directs the crowd to sit down on the ground. Here we see a glimpse of a new Eden. The Lord does not say, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread," but he says, "Rest upon the earth." Our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and set it before the people." And all ate of the bread and were satisfied. And there was an abundance, 7 baskets full left over. In the back of their minds should have been flashing images of Moses in Sinai. Certainly, here was the prophet who is greater than Moses. Here, in the desert, God provides for his people abundantly. Here, in the desert, we see the one who has come to bring a yet greater salvation. Here, in the desert, Eden is restored. And yet, the disciples do not understand. Immediately after this text, the evangelist Mark reports, the disciples began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" Of course, if you watched any Christian movies, you would believe that Jesus spoke these words in hushed tones, with just a hint of a smile on his face. But what's fantastic about Mark's account of this miraculous feeding in the desert is it richly rings of churchly liturgical language from verse 1 to verse 9 in the Greek. We see here that Mark clearly presents this miraculous feeding as an image of the divine service. You see, brothers and sisters, the disciples are like the Israelites in Sinai. They see the bread and they say, "What is it?" But you know what the bread is because you know the words of Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." given for you. This bread is the provision of the Lord. It is the food for the pilgrimage. It is the fruit of life. It is the body of Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord called his disciples to himself and said to them concerning you, I have compassion on them because they have been with me now 3 days. You have been through death with Jesus. You have spent 3 days in the tomb with him, and you have been raised with him. For the Apostle Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life? Jesus says, if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. It is important to note here that the Greek word translated as homes is a singular. Jesus says, if I send them away hungry to their home, they will faint on the way. For there is only one home for those who are with Jesus, that which has been prepared for them by the Heavenly Father. We who have been made alive by Jesus, who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism, are on a pilgrimage through this dying world, in this desert. And Jesus does not send us away hungry. In the midst of the desert, God has planted the tree of life, the tree of the cross from which life himself hung. Through the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man ate a sacrament and death, and on account of him, the ground was cursed. The Lord said, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. But here in the divine service, in the midst of the desert, the Lord says and bids to you, sit and rest upon the earth. By the sweat of Jesus' face, you shall eat bread. And he establishes a new testament, a new living sacrament of life. And he bids you, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which has been shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So, brothers and sisters, as Adam and Eve partook in a sacrament of death, I exhort you this morning to partake in the sacrament of life. And you, like the 4,000, will be satisfied. For it is true what our Lord says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This morning, you partake of the righteous one. Amen.